Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. It's the big Friday before Christmas. We hope that you're able to slow down this weekend and enjoy some family time. You know, that's what this season's all about, but we appreciate you taking the Be Our Guest podcast with you inevitably as you're doing those last minute shopping purchases and just running around town getting ready for the big day. Today's episode, as always, brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when you're looking to plan a great Disney adventure, whether it's out to Walt Disney World, over to Disneyland, or sailing with the Disney Cruise Line, they have the best agents. They are professional, passionate Disney fans who help each and every guest as if it were their own trip, and they're always going to get you the best deal out there for no additional cost to you. And with many packages, you will get little goodies like onboard credits with Disney Cruise Line. We also have premium subscriptions to touringplans.com, autograph books, and more. Just drop by the magicforless.com today. Check out all the great specials they offer their guests. Awesome testimonials as well. And while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form and make sure you let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And you and I are going to sit down and plan a great Disney vacation for you and your family. Check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. Also, don't forget about our Amazon affiliate link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. If you jump on it right away, you may still be able to get your purchases in time for Christmas. But regardless, anytime you do that online shopping here and moving into 2018, please support the Be Our Guest podcast where it costs you nothing extra and you'll get all your Prime benefits. But it does help support the show as we move into 2018 with some new and exciting things coming your way. We'd sure appreciate that. So again, before you do that online shopping, please visit brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1266 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And check this out, Pam, one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Do you approve with that title now? Are we good with that?
It's okay. I'll rubber stamp it right now.
I just wanted, it's Friday. It's before
senior,
Christmas.
Right.
That's it.
For sure.
I'm a senior citizen just about. I got gray hair anyway. So happy Friday, everybody. We're glad to have you here in this most joyous time of the year. The Friday before the big day, we have Christmas coming up on Monday. So we're in a jolly mood, but we are going to give you a great show today. This one, continuing our mini-series with Trapped in Certain Lands of the Walt Disney World Resort, we're going to head back to the Magic Kingdom. We wanted to thank listener Jason, who's headed down for the Disney College program here next month to spend January through May down there. Doesn't know his assignment quite yet, but he sent in a great email saying he loved the Trapped in Frontierland show. And so I said, great, you get to pick the next land. So today, we're headed to Adventureland just for Jason. So joining me today to do just that, we have one of Santa's best elves, Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. And I hope she always wants to be a blogger and not a dentist. What's going on, Ricky?
Yeah, I don't think I do so well at the dentist thing. So I'm gonna keep up with the blogging. So we're good there. But I'm ready for the holiday. I'm telling you, I have a hot chocolate in hand. So let's do this.
You're not supposed to have the hot chocolate unless you run. You got to run 15K before you do hot chocolate. That's kind of the rules with our running squad.
No. I go buy hot chocolate and then don't run the 15K. So I'd rather pay for the hot chocolate and sit on my butt.
All right, let's do it. All right, hey, whatever floats your boat here this holiday season. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about having fun at Christmas cookies and hot chocolate. So let's get going here. We have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Sometimes she's known as Saucy Lips. Most of us know her as Pam Forrester. What's going on, Pam?
I'm just Saucy Lips to you two.
That's it.
That's right.
Merry
it's
Christmas.
A very disturbed relationship the three of us have. So what do they say?
Yes, we do.
we've known each other too long, maybe, or not long enough. I don't know. Whatever the case. Yeah. Anyways, I'm so excited for the holidays. I love this time of year. And recently, we had agents in our own little. We have a little group. I asked people to share some of their Christmas tree photos. Oh my gosh, we have some decorators. I will just say, but Just saying. I mean, I love to see people's houses all like decorated for the holidays. I just think it looks really cool. Of course, Ricky said she wasn't decorated yet. I'll just say that.
I was not. In the household of us, we are doing painting. So it's kind of hard to put up a tree when you've got someone who's painting your house. It's just not,
I get it.
Not the easiest thing.
You don't have your eight trees up like I have my eight trees up?
No. Not eight trees. I have zero trees up. I do have a real tree at work, though. So does that count? Like, no. I bought a real tree. It's just on my desk. So
it must be a tiny real tree.
Very tiny tree, yes.
Okay. All right. I was going to say.
Very tiny. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump into. So we started that series a couple weeks back, Trapped in Frontierland. We just want to jump around the lands of Walt Disney World and talk about, you know, if you were theoretically trapped in one of these lands and had to spend the day from park opening to park close, could you do it, and what kind of things would you really dive into and get to explore more than we typically do on a normal vacation? I know, you know, we're headed down to Walt Disney World in about 8 days, and I know that with the marathon weekend events and New Year's Eve and the big crowds, we'll be hustling and bustling through these lands and not necessarily stopping to see everything that each land has to offer. But I think this is kind of a way to slow down and think about, well, you know, when the crowds are busy, and it's going to be busy when we're down there for New Year's Eve and all the way through marathon weekend, it is pretty crowded. Maybe I'll have the opportunity to explore some of these stores, or maybe to have a snack somewhere where I haven't gone in a few years, you know, things like that. Maybe take an attraction that isn't necessarily an e-ticket attraction that I'm always hustling for that fast pass, but I may see an opportunity to do some of the lesser attractions because the crowds are on the big stuff. So we're going to head to Adventureland, and let's lead this off with Pam. So Pam, when I say Adventureland, what's the first thing that pops into your mind in general with this land?
So this is one of my favorite lands in the Magic Kingdom. It always has been. There is just something about it that is just so appealing to me. First of all, I think it's because it's incredibly themed. I think from start to finish, this is one of the more themed lands, because everything, you know, adventure is sort of a kind of a ethereal theme, right? It's hard to theme for adventure, but what it ends up being is very jungly. It's very jungly themed kind of, you know, location. And I love that about it. I think the background music is especially cool in Adventureland. I think everyone loves the Adventureland background music loops. It's just so cool. Really interesting, and just so unlike, I think, what most of our regular lives, you know, are made up of. And I think that's one of the reasons that I really like it as well, that it's just so different than anything else that we get to experience in our day-to-day life. And it always just feels, I think, you know, I'm really kind of, this is sort of dating myself, but I really reminisce about this land when it used to have the gas tiki torches. They don't really have those anymore. They've taken those out, but it used to have things like that. But I loved it at night, and I still do. I think it has some really cool, unique lighting, and the foliage really puts an interesting cast on it. And it has some of my favorite attractions of all. So I love Adventureland.
Yeah, I'm going to echo that. You know, we've said for years, and Ricky kind of, you know, coined the phrase that the Jungle Cruise is junglier at night. And I think this whole land kind of takes on that personality. You know, and it, well, I mean, because when you think about Adventureland and Tomorrowland, those are usually, I think, two of the lands that people go through. Once you go through Main Street USA, you're either going left or right. And I think, you know, it kind of kicks off your day, or it ends your day, depending on how you're, if you're going around the Magic Kingdom in a circular fashion. But the thing about Adventureland is that it is very alive. You know, there's so much greenery and foliage everywhere that it seems more alive than maybe some of the other lands, like a Frontierland or a Tomorrowland, you know, even a Fantasyland. Mm-hmm. There's not as much growing and living, and, you know, even the appearance of living with the Swiss Family Treehouse, you know, it looks like it's a big tree, even though it's not necessarily alive. It fits into that theme. So I think it's one of those things that I almost picture, like, you know, crickets and, you know, bugs and stuff in those big planters, which they may be. I don't know. There's lots of little lizards running around, you know, maybe an alligator here and there, probably not. But, you know, it gives that illusion of you are somewhere that is very alive, you know, and it has those sounds at night. So, Ricky, what about your initial thoughts with Adventureland? Let's jump into some of the stuff we can do while we're there.
I mean, I think you guys really covered a lot of it. Like Pam, I do love the music of Adventureland. I feel like it really sets the tone for what you're going to experience with this land. And it just kind of gives that tribal feel to it, which I love so very much. The one thing that the two words that kind of come to mind to me when I think of Adventureland is lush and greenery. Those things are just everywhere in Adventureland, although maybe a little less so in that main little square area by, you know, say, the magic carpets. But for the most part, Adventureland is very lush and green. And like Pam says, you know, this land has some of my favorite attractions in all of the Magic Kingdom. So, you know, it's just, there's so much to this land, and it's so, I like that it takes different pieces of different aspects of kind of that adventure theme and melds it all, and it melds relatively well together. Like, it doesn't feel jarring in any way, even though, you know, it does take maybe from the Caribbean and the Middle East and, you know, kind of the Africa section and stuff like that. But when it combines it all in such a way that's just, it exists in perfect harmony. You know, it's just, it really is. It's such a peaceful land in a way. Peaceful.
It is. I mean, it's got a heartbeat to it. You know, know, you pass through it in the morning and in the afternoon, and the evening, it's like three different experiences as far as atmosphere. Of course, you have the same attractions, dining options, snacks and so forth, but it does have a different like feel to it. Even during like the Halloween parties, like if you go back there during Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, great environment. They add some smoke to it. They change the music a little bit. Christmas party as well. So, Pam, of course, you know, the things that draw you back into a land usually are the e-ticket attractions for the most part. We talked about Frontierland having two with Big Thunder and Splash. I would say that Adventureland has two with Pirates and Jungle Cruise, but you also have some other, you know, second tier attractions. So walk us through the attractions and what you might experience. Maybe stuff that we, you know, of course everybody's going to Pirates and Jungle Cruise, but, you know, is there more to see as far as riding rides in this land?
Yeah, there are. And I have to say, first of all, I think Pirates is one of Disney's best of the best. Mm-hmm. I mean, amen. It just is. The animatronics, the music, just everything. It was groundbreaking, you know, when it first opened, and it continues to be a crowd pleaser. So even though you don't always need a FastPass Plus to experience this attraction, my family almost always gets it because we just love it. We really love it. But yeah, that's, you know, the two e-ticket ones that you talked about, Mike. In addition to that, you also have, I think, the Enchanted Tiki Room, which within its own right is a very historic and important attraction to Disney because it was the first attraction that had audio animatronics. And of course, there's the whole story of Walt seeing the birds move. I believe he was in France and he wanted to duplicate that. And, you know, that really kind of started the whole Tiki Birds and then the whole audio animatronics as a whole. So, and I think I love that they've restored it back to basically what it was in Disneyland and what it is in Disneyland instead of, you know, for a while we had to deal with Yago in that, but now no longer. Ugh. So we appreciate that for sure. But then they have some other attractions that I think that kids like, including the Magic Carpets of Aladdin. And of course, to me, that's sort of like a Dumbo-like attraction, right? But you can get in there and tilt the carpet forward and back and go up and down on it. So we like that. The Swiss Family Treehouse, that's something that we do a couple times of year. And even still, when we walk through it, I'm always kind of amazed at the attention to detail that this attraction has. I mean, seriously, it feels like you could, and I would like to live there for just like a day or two because you see the bedrooms and, you know, the kitchen area. It's just really still from far away. It's a very cool attraction. So love that too. Then we also have things like the Pirate League where you can get pirated up and look like a pirate. And there's also Captain Jack's Pirate Tutorial. And then finally, there's that interactive game, the Pirates Adventures Treasures of the Seven Seas. And that's really where you go and get a map and you're kind of pointed in the direction of interacting with these different displays throughout Adventureland. And it's kind of a cool attraction. attraction. And I know lots of kids really enjoy doing that. And plus, then you get kind of a cool souvenir with that map that I think is cool. And there's more than one adventure, too. So if you really enjoy doing it, you can experience that more than once.
And, you know, going along with that and kind of with the theme of this mini series that we're doing, Trapped in Adventureland, you know, picture yourself being closed off at the bridge coming from the hub. And, you know, not being able to go, say, past, like, by Pecos Bills. You know, you're trapped there, and you can't go through for the sake of our listeners and your noses and everything, we're going to leave out the Adventureland bathrooms through that breezeway. You know, it is Christmas. that's our Christmas present to you, so we will not mention those bathrooms. They're probably the worst bathrooms in the Magic Kingdom at this point, which is kind of sad. But they're just, I think it's because they're overloaded. They're busy. It's a very central location. But what I would say, so say you are walled off in Adventureland. So let me ask Ricky about this. You know, Pam mentioned a lot of stuff you can do. You know, of course, you got Pirates, you got Jungle Cruise, you got the Swiss Family Treehouse. But then you got things like the Enchanted Tiki Room, and you also have the Pirate Adventure, you know, the Treasures of the Seven Seas, which is kind of like a Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. It's like we're solving you're moving around the land looking for little interactive nods to things and getting clues and solving mysteries, but there's more than one adventure. When I think of that, as Pam was speaking about all these things you can do outside of Pirates League, because that's another kind of add-on experience, you know, you really could spend a good 6 to 8 hours in this land to accomplish those things and really have kind of a fun day. I know we don't tour the park like that, most of us, but you really could, you know, have a full day just in Adventureland.
Oh, absolutely. There is so much you can do in Adventureland. I mean, just looking at the list that Pam said, it's huge. And, you know, you've definitely got also in addition to that, you know, you've got places to eat, too. So if you really did have to spend an entire day in Adventureland, you know, kind of different from our Frontierland one, you know, where maybe there wasn't necessarily a whole lot of places to eat. There were a few, but not a ton. I feel like Adventureland as a whole is just a complete land altogether. I mean, there is so much packed in there, and that's what I love about this land is that, you know, there's so much that you can do that you can if you did want to spend your time doing every single attraction in Adventureland in one day, you could spend quite a few hours there for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. And, you know, we have listeners kind of in, you know, all ends of the spectrum as far as like folks that have been there hundreds of times, folks that are listening today that are planning their very first trip to the Magic Kingdom. So we want to make sure we address kind of everything and we, you know, kind of doing a deep dive into some of these things. But Pam, what would you suggest to somebody that's thinking about making the most of their time? Like, are there some attractions in Adventureland other than Jungle Cruise is better at night, I think. But I think you really need to see it both during the day and at night if you can during a week's vacation, you know, or five or six, four nights. But are there any tips for, like, the carpets or the Tiki Room or the Treehouse or Pirates? I mean, is there anything people need to think of to really make the experience better when they experience the attractions of Adventureland?
Yeah, I think there are a few things to kind of keep in mind. So, you know, the Tiki Birds, and, you know, that's an attraction that even on a very busy day, you can typically walk in and your only wait will be, you know, whenever the next show starts. So the start of the next show. So at most, you know what, like 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes perhaps. Based on that. So if you have a day that's really packed or you need some attraction to fill in between your other FastPass Plus reservations, then I would suggest the Tiki Room because it's perfect for stuff like that. And I'll also say the same again with the Pirate Adventure interactive game. That's another great thing that can fill in when you're looking for something to do in between other planned events. Now, if you are really looking for, you know, let's say you have a son and a daughter and your daughter is going to get Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutiqued, but you're just not sure what to do for your son. Or maybe your daughter has no interest in being Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutiqued, but you know that they would love to get dressed up and made up in costume. I think that the Pirate League really offers a great opportunity for people who don't, you know, love princesses or really aren't interested in being royalty. Maybe they're the kind of kid that would like to be more piratey and love doing stuff like that. I mean, of course, you're in Walt Disney World, so it's already a fantastic vacation. But I think these little touches add something to, you know, the experience for parents who are looking for things like that. And then there are some decent dining locations, and I'm sure we'll get into that later. But, you know, that's another thing that Adventureland has. And I'll mention the one because it's highly popular. And that is, of course, Adventureland is the home of the very famous Dole Whip.
Yes, it is.
So Dole Whip floats. The twists,
new pineapple upside down cake with Dole Whip on top, which is amazing.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's lots of things to love about Frontierland. Yes, about Adventureland. But, you know, the fact that you have some attractions that you don't necessarily have to plan in advance for, I think that's a big plus. And one more to add to that list is, of course, the Swiss Family Treehouse. So there's some great filler attractions there, too. And when I say filler, that's not to mean that they're any less fun to experience or any less important than other attractions. They're just attractions that you don't have to plan quite so far in advance for.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. And I think, you know, here's a pro tip, you know, for people that are looking for pro tips. You mentioned the Pirates League. If you can talk your daughter into becoming a pirate rather than a princess, that's going to be nice for the pocketbook. I can just say being a pirate's a lot cheaper than being a princess. Being there, I've done both, true. You know, so yeah, definitely that. So, you know, do work your magic, parents and grandparents, see what you can do in that case. But I think you're right. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff that, you know, I don't think the Tiki Room is necessarily just kind of a wait out the crowds or like a get in some air conditioning for 30 minutes. Here's what I think it is a lot of times, even the treehouse, like you don't think to do that. But then when you do it, you're like, man, I'm glad I had that experience, because like you said, the treehouse is very detailed and you just don't see like ingenuity like that. You know, you get to explain things to your kids. Well, this is how they got their water. You know, it came up those buckets from the spring and they used a pulley, you know, and I think that's, for kids of today, I hate to say it, it's kind of like when you talked about Tom Sawyer Island. It's like it's so foreign to them to see something like that. It's very novel. So, you know, I think that kids, a lot of kids on my street had tree houses growing up, you know, and I'm not that old, but
I did.
I don't know a kid that has a tree house anywhere in our subdivision, you know, nowhere. There's no tree houses. Kids don't play outside hardly anymore. So the fact that, you know, you can kind of pass on like, oh, kids in our neighborhood had tree houses, you know, it wasn't as big as that. It wasn't, you know, you didn't live in the tree, but, you know, I think it's a great way for generations to connect and talk about the past. So let's hop into the dining and the snacking. And, you know, things have changed in Adventureland in the last 5 to 10 years. You know, it used to be really, you mentioned the Dole Whip, the only place to get a Dole Whip. And now that has expanded out. Of course, the Polynesian is kind of themed to Adventureland. It's kind of an extension that the Seven Seas Lagoon hotels are with beach land. So you can get one at the Polynesian now, but Ricky, they've also changed like the locations. They did a little trade there with Sunshine Tree Terrace and Aloha Isle. Why do you think they did that? And do you think it was a good positive move?
So why I think they did that was because of the lines that, Aloha Isle get, you know, we all know the cult of the Dole Whip. I mean, you know, it has its own merchandise. So, I mean, you know, that saying that, it's definitely got a following. And in the previous location where it was kind of in a thoroughfare that was quite busy, you know, and so it was kind of hard for people to line up and you know, the line would stretch down and get in the way, clogging the artery for regular guests to go through. So, you know, while I know that the orange swirl is also very popular, it's not quite as popular as the Dole Whip is. So to take the citrus swirl and move it over to the old location of Aloha Isle was the smarter play, because you'd still be able to get people in and still would be able to enjoy the citrus swirl. But, you know, by moving the Aloha Isle over to the other area, you can allow for more people. And trust me when I tell you that that area is constantly packed. When I was there, you know, just recently to pick up the deliciousness that is the pineapple upside down cake with Dole Whip on it, the line was so huge that I actually did the mobile order just so I didn't have to stand in the line. So, you know, and I got my food faster than I would have if I stood in the line. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is something to keep in mind is that, you know, they do offer the mobile ordering service at Aloha Isle. But, you know, it's just, I honestly think it was really because of the lines and it's a way to manage it better.
So you think this, just because the visibility that the citrus swirl has gained in popularity, or at least you think, I would imagine that they're probably selling more because maybe the common person just, you know, it's closer. Like the Aloha Isle is kind of hidden back there now. I don't know if it like, I wonder if it brought down the Dole Whip and brought up the citrus swirl, or if the Dole Whip's so popular it didn't matter for that. But I think the Dole Whip is so popular
it didn't matter. Trust me, you should have seen the line. So,
but do you think they're selling more citrus swirls? They may be. I mean, just because of the location.
I think they are with the location. Yeah. I think that it was a helpful thing for both treats. So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk dining. Okay. So we snacked, and that's a good thing. And, you know, the of course, if you like the Orange Bird, that goes with the citrus swirl. Kind of another tier of cult following is the Orange Bird for Mary Jo and everybody who dresses up like the Orange Bird, which I think is very cool because it's tied to like 70s Disney, which I like. I mean, I'm not going to dress up like the Orange Bird, and I'm not going to collect Orange Bird stuff, but I still think he's kind of cute and he's cool. Anyway, that's a deep dive.
He is adorable.
He is. That's a cute little mascot. Adorable. I agree. All right. So we have a table service restaurant now, you know, just in the last few years with the Skipper Canteen, but we also have kind of a counter service restaurant in Adventureland. So Pam, talk to us about Tortuga Tavern.
The elusive Tortuga Tavern. Yes, I know it is often talked about and rarely open, and it goes
through
many, many menu changes. I will say, one day it's tacos, the next day it's
barbecue, the next day it's turkey legs.
It is, and right now it has a very limited menu and is just selling those cookies and cream churros and.
By the way, don't get the cookies and cream churros. They are not good. I'm just telling you right now, don't get them.
And then they just have a turkey leg and hot dog. I mean, it's really not a lot. It's funny because it used to sort of be an extension of Pecos Bills. And I really don't understand why it's still sort of not. I mean, for a while, they had a legit taco salad. You would get one of those old, you know, the taco shells that you used to see. Now, I'm sure that those were not the most healthy options, I will say, a big fried corn, whatever, I don't know. But they had a whole taco salad bar. I mean, had a legit taco salad bar. So I'm kind of sad that that's not there anymore. But anyways, it was a good option. I really hope that at some point they find something that really sticks. And this becomes known for, because I think it could. It's a kind of a good location. You know, there is a good restroom in Adventureland that is on the other side of Pirates, that is one of the newer locations. And it's kind of in that area. And I think it could do well if it had something, you know, that people were really interested in and if it was, you know, open.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like it's just underutilized. You know, I know that they use it during the busy seasons, but man, I don't think it has a kind of good location. I think it has a great location right there across from Pirates, and it's got a cool exterior theme. Like, it draws you in. Like, I want to go in there and, like, you know, experience something. You know, have a meal. I know it's counter service, but I mean, Columbia Harbor House is counter service, and it's like an experience when you go in there. Like, I like that. You know, kind of being involved in the nautical theme as I'm eating fish and chips. And, you know, it's a great counter service meal. You know, I think Tortuga Tavern could step up to that and really fill the niche. And kind of on that same, you know, vein, you know, there was all the talk in the Disney community forever that, you know, they're not using that space that used to be a restaurant in the 70s, you know, and eventually it came around to be the Jungle Cruise Skipper Canteen, which thematically is, to me, it's a home run. Pam, I know you've eaten there many times. Ricky will give your thoughts too. But Pam, walk us through Skipper Canteen and then Ricky also give your thoughts on the restaurant.
So I think that so many people were so excited to see this open, and I am absolutely one of them because I remember eating in the Adventureland veranda way back when. And it's just a great location. And everyone loved the theme because, of course, it's the Jungle Cruise, the much beloved attraction. It has a menu, I think, that it's struggling with. And that's the one thing I think that is holding it back. It's not that the food I mean, it's not food that a lot of people are familiar with in terms of that. They have some, you know, different items, but it's not like way out there food. So I'm not sure what the real problem is. I think when we've eaten there, I just felt like there were some things that just should have been cooked better. Like they really weren't expertly prepared or even mediumly prepared. Do you know what I mean? They were fine. It's not meant to be a gourmet meal, but I just felt like the cooking needed to be a bit better in that. And in addition, some of the entrees are really challenging to eat in terms of like the noodle bowls. Like you have the, you know, chopsticks and a funky spoon, but you manage to get it like all over yourself anyway. So, I mean, I think that really doesn't help things, but it has some good entrees. So I'll just name some of the standouts. They have a whole fried fish, which is really impressive when someone orders that, and something to check out. And then they have lamb chops and a lot of steak salad and a char siu pork and some vegetarian options too, and a chicken option. So there are some things there that people could eat. These are just a few of them. There are some things there that people, even who don't have a very adventurous palate, would enjoy having. But just the things that we had, I just felt like I wanted them to be done just a little better, or I wanted the sauce to be a little more or something. I really still feel like they're on the right track with this, but maybe they need to tweak just a little bit more. And then they have some really kind of standout desserts. They have a coconut bar that has this a pineapple basil compote, which I thought was really good. Although this is right up my alley. I love coconut. I love basil in desserts. My family thinks I'm absolutely nuts. So, you know, what I really liked it. I don't know how the general public really feels about it because not everyone likes coconut. But they have some other stuff like a mango lime sorbet and a kungaloosh, which is, of course, a nod to the Adventurers Club. And then quicksand, which is rice pudding. So, I mean, that's cool. And it's also another location that serves alcohol in the Magic Kingdom. They also have some specialty non-alcoholic beverages. And I feel like with the addition of specialty drinks, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic, that are going to be included in 2018 on the dining plan, that we'll see even more of these coming. So looking forward to that. So yeah, they do have a small selection of beer and wine. I feel like if you really are going with the Jungle Skipper theme, we should maybe be offering something a little more exotic than Stella and Blue Moon, but that's just me. And I am I don't want to say a beer snob because I'm certainly not, but I mean, I just think, you know, come on, let's get something a little more exotic than that. I know that Disney can do better. So that's my thoughts. You know, here's the thing that I still feel about the Skipper Canteen. I'm still hopeful because in all respects, it's still a newer restaurant, right? Especially by Disney standards. I think that they need some tweaking. I wanted it to be more than it is right now, but I feel like it can be.
I think that's it. You know, I'll give my thoughts after Ricky. But, you know, just generally, when we heard it was coming around, we read about it. And then when it came to be, you know, I think before it opened, it was kind of on the heels of Be Our Guest. And I thought this was going to be one of those places that it's going to be the, you know, maybe the second or third hardest to get ADR property wide. You know, this is going to be one of those places that people are just knocking the doors down to get in at 180 days. It's always sold out. You know, it's one of those golden ADRs like Cinderella's Royal Table, Be Our Guest. And it just hasn't lived up to that expectation yet. That's what I think. Ricky, what are your thoughts on this restaurant?
I think, this is actually one of the restaurants that I haven't eaten at. And part of it is, I think, because of kind of what Pam was talking about. You know, the menu, it all sounds fine. But nothing sounds like, man, I have got to try that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no wow dish on the menu of something that I have to have. And I've walked past it many times. And even on my last trip just a couple weekends ago, when I was by myself and looking for a place to eat, I thought, you know, I should really see if Skipper Canteen has anything available. And then I just kept walking right on past it. So, like, And I know that they've had, like, issues. I think this is a place where, kind of like Pam said, the menu hasn't really hit it yet. So I feel like they have menu changes kind of semi-frequently. And I just think that there's some spark that's missing here. And I don't know what it is, but there's some menu thing that hasn't really clicked yet. And I, like I said, I don't think that the food sounds bad. I think it sounds quite good, but there's just no wow to it. And I think that that's kind of the bummer behind it. And I know that I'm guilty of being one of those people who's like, I should go, but I want to go here instead, you know? So I'm one of the people who's totally guilty of it. And I regret that, but I have it. Like, it's on my list. I want to go to Skipper Canteen. It's just, I don't.
Well, here's a lesson from a guy from the Midwest, you know. Okay, so I'm more adventurous than most of my family, and I'll try a lot of things. But when I look at the menu, because I've gone there a few times, you know, with friends, you know, with the folks from the podcast, we've needed a place to eat. We've gone to, you know, Skipper Canteen a few times together. And when I look at the menu, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to like a lot of the things on the menu. But, you know, just looking at the descriptions, because they're kind of fancy. They got lots of you know, ingredients that I have no idea what they are.
I think they over fancied up the menu.
I think they did, because
it's really what it is.
Well, here's what I learned, because when I was down there for a media event last year, we had a meal at Skipper Canteen. They really wanted to sell it. And so they brought out a bunch of stuff to sample. And I remember that, you know, I was sampling it kind of blind. I didn't know what was what. You know, I just kind of looked at it, took a bite of it. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. You know, I tried something else. Oh, that's pretty. I remember sitting there with Deb Wills was at the table, and she was kind of cracking up, because I was like, you know, because I'm trying to, like, I want to make mental notes of this, because I want to come back and talk about it, you know, like, oh, that was good, you know, what's that? And I'm telling her, I'm like, okay, so what's this thing? Because this is pretty good, you know. And she told me, I'm like, really? I'm like, if I'd have seen that on the menu, I'd have never ordered that, like, because it seemed weird, like, it didn't seem like anything I would like. But when I practically tried it, I enjoyed most of the different, like, foods that they let us sample, you know. So, Ricky, I think you're right, because with the menu, I would have never ordered that, you know. But when it was kind of like a blind, it's in front of me. Oh, that kind of looks good. Really, all it is kind of ribs and something else, you know. But the description was like, oh man, that sounds so strange to me, you know. And maybe it's just because I'm not from the East Coast, you know, somewhere where.
No, I mean, Brian and I go to kind of adventurous-y places. I mean, we don't just eat, you know, regular stuff, but sometimes we'll try something different. But it sounds. The menu just there, like I said, there's nothing that pops on it. There's nothing that says, that sounds really good. I mean, heck, I even ordered and enjoyed the octopus at Tiffin's. But there's, you know, one of the most adventurous places that's in Walt Disney World, I think. And I can't find anything on the menu that really sounds good at Skipper Canteen. I mean, it all just sounds okay. So,
all right. Well, let's kind of wrap it up with shopping. You have a little counter, you know, just open air, the bazaar there kind of next to the magic carpets, you know, kind of little, you know, you got, like, you can get some snakes, you know, like fake snakes. And
why did I have t-shirts? To be snakes?
Exactly. I mean, I like the theme of it, because I think everybody kind of likes to shop at a bazaar type place, kind of like shopping in Morocco and World Showcase. It's okay. I mean, there's no great merchandise there, but it's kind of fun just to walk through and look at the little trinkets and goodies, and, you know.
Mike, don't forget the sunglass hut.
Yeah, the sunglass hut too. Yeah,
because nothing says adventure like sunglass hut.
Well, you know, you kind of got to the point where I was going to make that we're going to wrap this show up, and I'm going to try to remember to do this on the future episodes in this mini series. Is what one thing would you do to improve the land? So, I'm going to give mine first. Okay, so mine, and because I think you two would probably both snake me on this one. Since it's Adventureland, I'm going to say you'd snake me. Okay, so the one thing I would do to make Adventureland better is it's addition by subtraction. I would take away the magic carpets and just open it up a little bit more in that central hub.
He took ours.
Well, here's the thing, though. I might expand out, not more shopping, but maybe, well, it would be shopping, but maybe more like, if you took out the magic carpets and had that middle area open, I'd put in maybe some, like, more little, you know, I guess they used to have, like, the planters and the seating, but I would also have kind of, like, carts, like, of, like, kind of like in Africa at Animal Kingdom, where you would have, like, you know, more authentic kind of, like, hand-carved things. You could buy trinkety things, maybe more, like, seasonal snacks, almost like not a food truck, but a food cart, you know, that changed throughout the year, and you could try different things, you know, and just, they could test things there. And I think that would make it feel more authentic rather than the magic carpets. Well, you know, because we have spinners, we have Dumbo at the Magic Kingdom. You have Triceratops Spin at Animal Kingdom. I don't know. I know it's popular and kids like that kind of a ride, but that's how I would improve Adventureland if I could. So, Ricky, what would you do to improve this land?
Well, since you took probably both mine and Pam's, So I have two. One is I would upgrade the bathrooms.
But there's one good set. There's one good set. The ones behind Pirates are A-OK.
The ones behind Pirates are fine. The ones in the breezeway are not. So just take those suckers out and put in new bathrooms. Just start over. I don't know if they just get so abused because they're in that breezeway. I'm sure that's why. And they're the first real bathrooms that people come to. But, those need some TLC.
They do.
But the other thing that I would kind of like to see is, and it's kind of something, kind of like what you were talking about, Mike, about taking some of that feel of like Animal Kingdom and bringing it over here. So I would like to see more kind of pathways, you know, that are kind of meandering type thing. I don't know how easily it would be to do, but, you know, kind of add some more lush greenery pathways, kind of snaking around everywhere. And I think that would be kind of a neat little thing. You know, there's that big open area in front of Jungle Cruise. I think that could use some TLC too. I'm not sure what they could put there, but it just seems like a lot of it is wasted space right now there too. So I don't know if you could put, you know, there's not really a lot of room to put pathways, but at least you could put some more greenery there or something like that. So,
and how about bringing back the old mini boats, the RC boats, and make them free? Let's drive those little boats. Those are fun. I love those little suckers. Yeah. I miss those. Pam, what would you do? Close it out. What would you do to make this land better if you could?
So I will say that where the Sunglass Hut is now used to be what I think was one of the cooler stores in Walt Disney World in general. And it was that location that sold items that were very Adventureland themed, really fit in with the theme. Sometimes you could only find those things there and at the Polynesian. And that's something that I think is really cool. When you have merchandise like that you can't so easily put your hands on, I love that. I think that's what makes the different. I mean, you know, if we're going to have everything be the same, then why even have the different lands, right? Why not just make it all very big Magic Kingdom? Yes, right.
Yeah. Okay.
Not the same things everywhere. I think the merchandise should be different, and I think there should be little, you know, items that are very hard to find or only able to be found in, for instance, Adventureland and the Polynesian because it makes sense there. So I would love to see that back. I'd love to see the gas tiki torches come back. I know, I'm sure there's a reason that those aren't there anymore, but it was just such a cool part of Adventureland, and it really fit with the theme, and it made it even more magical at night. I loved that the lighting was actually, you know, fit in even more with the theme and just bring that lushness in, as you said, Mike, that, you know, we need that. We love that. Those lava rock seatings, those are fantastic, and you can't find them everywhere, so bring those back too.
All right.
All for it.
I am too. That'd be awesome. It's great land right now, but it could even be better. And that's what I like. And so here's what we want. You know, of course, this is the Christmas weekend, so I know that you're going to be spending time with friends and family. And Merry Christmas to everybody as you celebrate. Of course, we'll be back on Monday with the special and the hopefully beloved Christmas in the BOGP studios. This year, it'll be Christmas morning in the BOGP studios on Monday. So stay tuned for that as we get together and exchange our gifts here in the studio with the big Christmas tree and the Yule log. So be ready for that. But as you're on Facebook, you know, maybe you're, you've had, some eggnog and maybe, you know, over at the in-laws and you've had dinner and everything. You're messing around on Facebook. Drop by the Facebook group and let us know what you would do to improve Adventureland. So I'd love to read those here as we go through the weekend. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. So if a 2018 Disney adventure is in the cards for you, even if you're not sure, just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials. You can see the awesome booking bonuses that you get when you work with the folks over at the Magic for Less, like onboard credits with Disney Cruise Line. They have the deluxe pixie dust pack. That's hard to say. I always type it. I never say it. The grand pixie dust pack. There's all kinds of stuff, different levels that you can get awesome little goodies, Disney gift cards, premium subscriptions at touringplans.com. The aforementioned, we talk about it a lot, the laundry bag that everybody needs for their Disney vacation, whether you're cruising or going to land or world or whatever. There's lots of specials. And of course, you're always going to get the best rate and awesome service. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. And don't forget, you got to get on this right away if you want your packages delivered by Christmas. But if you do that, use our Amazon affiliate link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We'd really appreciate that. And thank you so much to everybody who has done that and who is using our link. We appreciate that very, very much. Please follow the show on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook group this weekend at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, well, it's time to get out of here for the weekend. And of course, it is going to be Christmas Eve on Sunday, Christmas Day on Monday. We will not see you until you celebrate. So Merry Christmas to everybody celebrating. Happy holidays to everybody. We hope this is the best one for you and your family. And just enjoy that time with friends and family. We enjoy having you as a friend of the show. We consider you family. If you take time to listen to our podcast, you are part of the family. And our family stretches all the way around the globe. And we are so absolutely thankful for that. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a very Merry Christmas. Until we see you again on Monday, we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.